This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. No, let me carry these, all right? They're my grandfather's.
Welcome back to the second episode of Who's Your Caddy? I'm your host, Matt Ostick. Alongside me is Mac Farley. This week on the episode, we will recap what happened at the Desert Classic this past weekend. Adam Long ended up overcoming Phil, and we'll recap that a little bit, as well as we'll talk about the Abu Dhabi tournament on the European Tour, let you know how Koepka and DJ did and who ended up winning that golf tournament. We'll preview the Farmers Insurance Open this weekend. It's played at Torrey Pines. I've been lucky enough to play there. It's a hard golf course, one that Tiger has conquered many times, and he is back this week. Alongside that, we will talk about our Caddyshack gambling room, who we think is going to win, who are some matchups that you should take, as well as, you know, a couple other things that Mac will lay out here.
Matt, fired up for week two at Who's Your Caddy? We're getting into the season a little bit now. Quick shout out to a good friend of the pod, Jack Nicklaus. Turning 79 today, second best player of all time. That's awesome to see. Also, Tom Lehman, Minnesota native, back in the winner's circle on the Champions Tour at the Mitsubishi Electric. One-shot win over David Toms. Like Matt said, we're going to get into the gambling room in the Caddyshack. We're seeing a lot of bets being placed, a lot of money exchanging hands right now. Things are heating up as we get into the year. And finally, first course review, first golf trip review. Matt and I went over to Austin, Texas a couple months ago. We're going to cover that, hopefully the first of many.
Winning this week on tour was Adam Long, a former player on the Hooters Tour, which is one of the former premier mini tours. Also played on PGA Tour China, the Latino America Tour, Mackenzie Tour. You know, that's a tour I caddy on part-time, as well as Web.com Tour for 5 years. Pretty crazy story for him. He's been a pro for 8 years. His only win as a pro is on the Hooters Tour, which is nuts. It's not like he was a winner on all those tours leading up to it. So, pretty cool story. I think it was awesome that he won, other than the fact that I did sprinkle some money on Phil to win at 40-1 odds. So, that would have been a nice payday for me. Mac, what'd you think of it?
Yeah, Matt, it's great to see Adam Long made to the winner's circle. Duke native, like you said, 31 years old. Over the last 8 years, he's made a total of $550,000, which might sound like a lot, but over 8 years, I mean, a lot of these tour guys are spending 20, 30, 40 grand in expenses. That cuts into those checks
per year.
And so it's, you know, being in the winning circle gives him that essentially 3-year exemption, over $1 million. Good for this guy.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Really good player. He's very humble when in his post-round interview. He talked about, you know, how cool it was to beat a guy like Phil Mickelson. Phil was shocked when he made the putt. It was almost like I don't want to compare him to Tiger, but it was like Phil was getting beat by Tiger once again. Very clutch putt, I thought.
Yeah, that putt had about 18 inches of break from 12 or 14 feet there. And even that second shot in off the weird lie, I mean, that's stones coming down 18.
Yeah, for sure stones, for sure. I bet his caddy played a role into it, you know, just comforting him to hit a shot to like 14 feet and then obviously making the putt. So good for Adam Long, other than the fact that he did take money off me, so maybe he could give me some of my money back. Adam Hadwin. Phil basically led most of the week. He started on Thursday with a round of 60. It was a 59 watch. He did have to birdie the last three. He didn't birdie 17, so good start to the week by Phil after even tweeting out on social media, in quotes, "I'm going to be rusty," he said, end quote. But that was pretty nuts to me. He then goes out, like I said, shoots 60. I think that he played pretty well, pretty well this week.
Matt, we were watching some of the coverage, and middle of the round, he left a driver in the water. Would you consider it a choke for Phil?
Would I consider it a choke? I really wouldn't. I think you got to give all credit to Adam Long. He came out, played very well, made a bunch of birdies. Phil still shot 69 on Sunday. That's four rounds in the 60s for Phil. I bet if you would have said, Phil, you shoot four rounds in the 60s, he would have taken that happily.
Yeah, you know, like you said, he's pretty rusty coming off, you know, a couple months off season, 59 watch early, gets a little cocky on Twitter.
Yeah, he does get a little cocky on Twitter. I, you know, a lot of people don't like Phil. I actually love Phil. I wish every player was kind of outspoken like this. I think every player is pretty outspoken, but not all of them show it on the social media, and Phil does. So I do like that. In terms of, you know, Phil, I think Phil's going to have a really good year. I think he's going to be maybe a top 10 player on tour. Who do you think has more wins? This is a really – I was thinking about this all day, Phil or Ricky?
You know what? This year I'm taking Ricky. I'm concerned, though. I don't, you know, recent headlines, he switched to the TaylorMade TP5X golf ball. That's derailed some players like Rory. If you recall, he switched the ball right before the Masters. I believe it was 2 years ago or 1 year ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he couldn't calculate the distances, and it affected his ball in the wind a lot different. I look for Ricky to play well in the second half of this year. It's going to take some time for him to get adjusted to that ball.
See, I think Phil came out and said that he's going to play a limited schedule. This was the first time that Phil's going to miss this next week's tournament, Torrey Pines, for the first time in like 27 years or 20, some mid-20 type of year.
You know, I just think Phil's upset because he didn't get the redesign rights on the North Course at Torrey.
Okay, there's a bold take.
He's saying it's a rest thing. I think it's all politics here, Matt.
You know, I think it is a rest thing, and I think, you know, you look back and Phil seems to be playing every single week. I think that it is going to be a good thing. He's 48 years old. He needs to lay a little more low. He just won $9 million. He's got $9 million in the bank. I think that he needs a little time off. So, last podcast, we talked a little bit about what was going on in the European Tour this week, or this past week, I should say. They were at Abu Dhabi. Shane Lowry ended up winning, won by one shot.
Yeah, Matt, first round, he shot 62, hit four fairways.
That four fairways sounds like me a little bit. The 62 at about 20, and that's what I probably would have shot. Well, pretty impressive win for him. He won by one shot over Richard Stern. Kind of a boring end to the tournament. Not much up top. Finished at 18 under, so good win by him. Stronger field there than it was at the Desert Classic. Brooks Koepka had another top 10 finish, played pretty well there. So good start to the year for him. Also, Dustin Johnson was over there. DJ ended up finishing T16, played a good last final round, 5-under in the last round. But I think that DJ's head's not completely in the game. Right after the tournament, him and Paulina go to the Maldives, which is like just off the coast of India, and they spend a couple days there. It's like, really, man, you finished T16 and you're going to do that? I think that he's got to get his head in the game. It's going to be a busy season. That's something that you do in, you know, maybe November or December when it's the off season for the top players.
Yeah, Matt, I think DJ's taking a page out of Brooks Koepka's book here. I mean, they're really focusing on those majors. You know, PGA Tour might be pushing the players to be the fifth major. I'm not buying it. But that being said, another great finish for our guy Louis Oosthuizen, one of the prettiest swings on the planet. Top five for him. Tommy Fleetwood didn't look that sharp, tied for 42nd. What do you think, Matt?
I think Fleetwood will have a good year. I think it's just a weird start to the year for him. He won there last year, so he'll be good to go. I love Fleetwood, Tommy Ladd. Did you see the European Tour video at all of him and a couple of other guys? It was like Thomas Bjorn.
Oh, they had their little committee meeting.
It was hilarious.
With our boy Eddie Pepperell.
Eddie Pepperell was on there. They were talking about like the Ryder Cup. You should go watch it. They were talking about the Ryder Cup and how great of an experience it was. And Eddie's like, yeah, it would have been nice to get an invite to that. Couple other things that were just funny on that you should go check out. It was on the European Tour Twitter page. This week on tour, they go to Torrey Pines for the Farmers Insurance Open.
Matt, you've played Torrey before, haven't you?
Played Torrey, played the South course. There are two courses, the South and the North.
What's the rundown this week?
They'll play the South course and the North course Thursday and Friday, and then on Saturday and Sunday they'll play the South. The South course is one of the hardest tracks on tour. It's over 7,600 yards at sea level, Very hard golf course, pretty narrow, long rough. It'll be a good test of golf. When I played it, I think I was 14 years old and shot like 92.
Nice.
I wasn't a very accomplished golfer then. Still aren't, but I think I'd have a better crack at it now. Tiger won 2008 U.S. Open there. That was the most previous major. They obviously play there every year on tour. It should be a fun event. A lot of big names coming out this year.
What do you think? I mean, a lot of times this earlier in the year, Torrey Pines, you can recall, I think a couple years ago, Tiger Woods had the whole glutes activation gate there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always a little chilly there. Not cold by any means, but it's not going to be warm. It'll be probably low 60s. They'll get a little marine layer some of the days, so some fog. It'll be a good test of golf. I'm pretty excited for it, to be honest. Tiger is back. He's won there 8 times, including that U.S. Open. He's grouped with Xander and Tony Finau.
Golf Channel has the over-under for Tiger Woods finish this week at top 25. What are you taking on that, Matt?
I'm going the under, so that means I'm going...
Hammering it.
Yeah, he'll finish top 25 or better. Do I think he's going to win? No, but I think he will have a very good week. He's ready to go. He's had some time off.
Currently listed at 14-1.
Yep. So, I mean, I'll probably end up putting money on it. I won't advise to put money on it, but you got to love putting money on Tiger to win just because you get to cheer for him. Last year, Jason Day won this tournament. He beat Alex Noren in a 6-hole playoff. Pretty crazy playoff. It was a Monday morning playoff, actually. So, big name there, winning the golf tournament. Year before that, John Rahm won.
Breakout win for him.
Breakout. It was his first one on tour.
Speak of Jason Day, though. He's kind of fallen off the map a little bit. What do you think about his game?
I think that Jason Day has had some injuries that have really bugged him. And his swing is just violent. I honestly think it's more violent than Tiger's is. So when he really takes a lash at it, it's bad news for him with a guy who's already on injuries.
One of the best putters on tour, though, consistently up there on strokes gained. That can bail him out this week.
That could bail him out, but I think, you know, the golf course is too rough. You haven't heard much of him as of late, so I think I really think that he won't be there on Sunday. John Rahm, guy played well last week. He's won there in the past, like we just said. I think he'll be there on Sunday. Look for Tiger kind of in the mix on Sunday. But my straight-up pick to win this week will probably be Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
I really like Xander. You watch what he did a couple weeks ago in Hawaii, and, I mean, the guy's a La Jolla native. That's where it is in Cali. So I think he's rearing to go, ready to play with Tiger.
I'm with you, Matt. And before I lay out my picks, I'm going to wait to get into the caddy shack to see where those slips are being placed.
Now we're going to go to our weekly insights for our betting from the Caddy Shack. So make sure to get these slips in. My picks this week, typically I'll do around 4 picks, you know, depending on odds of certain guys. So odds to win this week, like I said earlier, I'm picking Xander Schauffele to win, regardless of what his odds are. But his odds are actually pretty good. So he's at 20-1 odds, played very well in Hawaii, hasn't played since. He obviously won Hawaii, but... he's from La Jolla, which is where Torrey Pines is. I think that he's going to have another very good week. San Diego State grad. I'm not saying that he's for sure going to win, but I think that's the pick for the week. He's already sharp. He's already in midseason form, so I like him. Another pick I like, Patrick Cantlay. Had a very good week last week. Finished at 19-under, so 6 shots back of the lead, or 7 shots back of the lead. So I like Cantlay. He's a ball striker. Torrey Pines is a ball striker's golf course. As long as you hit it far and strike it well, if your putter warms up for a couple days, you might actually run away with the win. So I like Cantlay at plus 2,500, which is 25-1. Another guy we talked about a little earlier, he lost in the playoff last year to Jason Day, Alex Noren. So he's at 40-1 odds. I really like him.
Sleeper pick.
Hasn't played much as of late. Not in a bad way, just... kind of took some time off, which is a good thing for him. His world ranking, he's up there, just outside the top 10. So I like him at 40-1. A couple value picks that I love, and one of them, I don't know why his odds are like this, but at 100-1 odds, Bo Hostler, another striker of the golf ball, very good player, Texas grad. Look for him to break out on tour this year. He had several second place finishes last year, so look for him to be there at the end of the week. So 100-1 odds on him. Stamp that one in for sure. The last guy from Fargo, North Dakota, way up there in the middle of nowhere, Tom Hoge. This guy is pretty consistent, so with the scores not being too low, I do like him. It's 300-1 odds, so if you put $10 on him, look for a nice payday at the end of the week for $3,000. That'd be nice. That might buy your local membership for your local course for the year.
So. Yeah, Matt, I really like some of those picks. My favorite this week is our boy Tony Finau, 18-1. This guy's just due for a win. I don't think I need to touch on, you know, how many second place finishes he's had. I think Torrey Pines is a good fresh start for him. You know, it's kind of pressure off events, but that being said, strong field. He tends to play well in WGCs. And
I heard a story about Tony Finau and all of his second place finishes last year. A guy at Barstool Sports has bet on Tony Finau every single week from back when he was like 300-1 odds. And now he's all the way down to 18-1 odds. So at this point, he's just hedging and praying for a win. But I do like that pick of Tony Finau too.
All right, so getting into some of my value picks, a lot of Caddyshack murmurs on these. We're seeing a lot of slips come in late. First one is Luke List at 66-1. Missed the cut last week, shot 7-under. The cut was 9. Just really couldn't get the putter going, but he had a great finish to 2018. I'd like to see him get the putter a little hotter this week. Another guy, Patrick Rogers, 125-1. Played well at the RSM, lost in a playoff to Chucky Three Sticks.
Charles Hall III.
And so I look to see him turn it on this week. And obviously, last pick, this is where all the slips are at. Tiger Woods, 14-1.
Love it.
Not that we're a big bet on Tiger guys every week, but Tiger's won here 8 times in his career. I look to see that that could continue this week.
And actually, looking back at it, that Tiger pick, at the end of the week, might be a value pick. He might go out and win by 4 shots. And you're like, why? If you don't put money on him, why didn't I put money on him?
Look for a shaky start early. He typically double bogeys the first.
Yeah, the year he won at Torrey for the U.S. Open, he doubled the first hole 3 times. And the only time he didn't was a par, but it was a chip in par. So
don't be concerned if he's off to a shaky start. For those of you that have live betting access, that'd be the time to get in. Look for a shaky start and then get the value.
Good point. I love that.
All right, Matt. So those were our long shots to win. Hardest pick in golf is who's going to win every week. We're going to turn this over to our weekly matchups, one-on-one. Last week, Matt, you were 2-for-3.
I was 2-for-3, 2-and-1 on the week. And I do want to emphasize, too, this is where I put more of my money is these matchups because of the fact, like, to pick to win, it's you're picking long shots. Even if they are, you know, 14-to-1 odds like Tiger, it is a long shot bet. So I am putting more of my money. I did make money last week. I think I ended up making like, you know, $20. So it was, you know, I was getting paid $20 to watch golf.
Absolutely. So the top matchup for this week is Tiger versus Rory. Rory has the slight edge.
Rory is -140 on the week. Tiger's +115. This one kind of shocked me, to be honest. Like I said, because of Tiger's success here, Rory really doesn't have much of a history here. So I am taking Tiger at +115. I'm actually probably going to hammer this one. I'm going to put more than my typical unit. And so I would recommend the same. Hopefully it pays off.
All right. The next big ticket matchup is Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele. Pretty even matchup here.
Even matchup, 50-50 here. I'm going to end up taking Xander Schauffele, obviously, because I picked him to win. But I also think this has something to do with Ricky playing the new ball. I just don't see Ricky having a great week. First week with the new ball, weird, small greens, Torrey Pines, a lot of factors stacked up against him.
I'm with you there, Matt. I'm worried about that ball change. The next matchup, John Rahm and Justin Rose.
So in this one, I am going to take typically every week – when they do these matchups, they have – it's called money line. So you either just pick them to win versus one another or you have them in a spread. So this week, the spread on this one is -1.5, John Rahm. And that's even money. So say you bet 30, you'd win 30 if John Rahm does that. I actually did this with John Rahm last week. I think he'll do it again this week against Justin Rose. John Rahm's won here. He's playing well right now, so look for John Rahm. -1.5, a unit to win a unit.
Matt, I'm actually going to disagree with you here. I don't think you can bet on Justin Rose, world number one. He's getting
bet against Justin Rose, you're saying?
That's right. It's hard to bet against world number one. He's used to that Hanma equipment after last week. Played okay. His putter still looks solid. And I really like him at a tough track like Torrey Pines.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping John Rahm wins.
Moneyline.
You're going moneyline. Okay. I like that bet. That'd also be about a unit to win a unit. So next up, I'm going to ask Mac a couple here. He's got Brant Snedeker versus Keegan Bradley.
Matt, I'm hammering Brant Snedeker here. I think, you saw Keegan win at the end of the year. That really made his, it made his year, and it gave him that exemption that he needed. He's fallen off the map a little bit since. Also, Brant Snedeker, former tournament winner, plays well in all conditions. He actually won in the rain-shortened event. If you recall, it might have been 30, 40 mile per hour winds that year.
Yeah, he rolls the rock well. I do like that pick. I'll probably end up...
Especially that short, choppy putting stroke on some greens that can get some Poana.
Yeah, I like that. Here's a kind of a sexy one, but not so sexy. Cameron Champ versus Patrick Reed. Champ, the new guy on tour, versus Patrick Reed. Everyone hates him.
You know, I'm hammering Cameron Champ here. I think he's a top three player to watch this year. Hasn't won on tour. Actually, he won at Sanderson.
Yeah, not yet this year, but he won, in the fall.
And so, this guy, clubhead speed, about $130. For those of you that don't know, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy at about 122. He's 8 miles per hour faster than anyone else. Hits it a mile, hits a stinger with the driver, and I think this is a great course for him.
Actually, now that you say Champ, I don't know his odds for the week, but I might take him just to win as well. Like, he's going to have a lot of wedges into a lot of these greens where guys are going to have 7 and 6 irons. I mean, that's scoring right there.
But first time seeing the track, Torrey Pines.
It is tough, but it might be.
It has a lot of quirks. There's a reason Tiger Woods has such an advantage here after all those times.
Yeah, no, I do like that Cameron Champ pick, though. Got to hit it straight. Patrick Reed really doesn't hit it straight. So
no, watch out for those snap hooks if you're going to the tournament. Stay out of the left.
Stay out of left about 280 to 300 yards. You'll be pelted probably at least once. So to finish up the pod today, we actually want to talk a little bit about the Austin, Texas trip that we went on a couple months ago. We had a couple fun games that we played and really made it a fun trip. We didn't play great golf, but yeah, it was good.
We're going to try to include as many course reviews as we can. So if you have any requests or interesting courses that you want to hear more about, shoot those our way and we'll touch on those each week.
The first course we played was Barton Creek. And this was a fun course. It was very challenging.
There's actually 4 courses at the resort.
Yeah. So we played what's called the Fazio Foothills. It's one of the 4. There's a Core Crenshaw design. This place is open to the public. It is called Barton Creek Country Club, but yeah, it is open to the public if you want to stay there. It's a huge resort. Omni Resorts just pumped around $100 million into this course or this country club. So
they're redoing the clubhouse. They're adding a pool. It should be phenomenal once it's finished.
Yeah, and it was phenomenal when we were there. So like I said, very hard golf. Mac played probably his worst round of the year.
Worst round of the year. Still had a great experience. Matt, do you want to... I think you had one of the best breakfast burritos of your life over there.
Breakfast taco. There is a difference in taco and burrito, so it was a breakfast taco. Mac and I show up. It was about 9 a.m. We were pretty hungover from the night before. And, yeah, we show up.
A little overserved
the night before at Top. I think were we at Top Golf?
Yep, Top Golf, Austin.
Austin. And so we were having a good time there. But anyway, so we show up. We couldn't find anything to eat on the way, so we were just like, well, maybe we can just grab something at the clubhouse. So this guy comes out, looks at us like we are just like, and it was a really weird look, but like we asked for food at a place that serves food, and he was like shocked by it. And so he's like, yeah, I can cook you up a breakfast taco. What do you want on it? And we're like, whatever you make it with.
Yeah, and he didn't really understand what we were saying.
No. So anyways, I think he threw some sausage, some bacon, some peppers, no onions on it. I'm not a big onion guy, but needless to say, it was $10 for 2 tacos that were the size of a taco that was like the size of a Chipotle burrito.
Oh, yeah.
And it was unbelievable. Tipped the guy $10. He was loving it. Probably the biggest tip he's gotten on a $10 two taco deal, I guess. Great experience there. We really loved it.
Not the best range. They're only off mats. I'm not a big mat guy.
Yeah.
But the course is in incredible shape. One of the tightest courses I've played. I lost about 6 or 7 golf balls, I think.
Yeah, and Mac was up in Minnesota. He hadn't played much. So I will give Mac a little credit there. He hadn't played at all, and this was not a course you want to go play your first round in 2 months at.
That being said, ripped high 80s, worst round of the year by about 8 or 9 strokes.
And Mac's about a +1 or +2 handicap, so the guys were kind of shocked when, I don't know, when Mac set his handicap, or they were shocked that he didn't play so well. Like I said, we played a sweet game a part of our trip. Each round we would do like a $5 NASA. During the trip, played a game called Compound Stableford. And basically what it is you get points. So you're 10 points for a hole-in-one, 5 points for an eagle, 2 points for birdie, 1 point for par, 0 for bogey, and -2 for a double bogey or worse. The reason why we say compounds is because, say, you make a birdie or better, that magnifies, or multiplies, I should say, the total for the next hole. So, say you make birdie, and you make, then, an eagle, the eagle would be worth 10 on the next hole. So,
you really... But also, if you make a double bogey, instead of being worth -2, it's worth -4.
So, it's pretty simple. We played that game, and we'll tell the results here in a bit. We'll talk about the last round, because we played 3 rounds. But that game was fun. Like I said, we also played $5 NASA, which I took all of Max money that round, and got a good start into this Compound Stableford game.
All in all, we played with a couple members that were awesome. One of the guys just recently came off Muirfield playing in the Pro-Am with Jason Day, Peyton Manning. Had some great stories, basically saying, you know, what you hear in the news is true. Peyton's a great guy. Jason Day taking some crazy lines off tees in the Pro-Ams. And just all in all, fun round of golf with some good members.
This is also in Austin. And a little thing about Austin, west of Austin metro area is, they call it the hills. And so basically what it looks like is it's Southern California, I'd say, kind of a cool little vibe like that. And a Spanish Oaks place, a lot of elevation.
Definitely the best course on our trip.
And definitely the best course on our trip. I would say, too, going into it, I didn't really expect much, but like, this was not on my radar as being the best one. I really hadn't heard about it, which sometimes can be a good thing. So this was an unbelievable course. Mac and I show up and
valet parking.
There was like 4 or 5 people there. It was 50 degrees. No one plays golf in Texas when it's 50 degrees, but we're Minnesotans, so we were all about it. Mac and I, the valet guy, directs us to walk to the range. He grabbed our clubs, threw them on a cart, and we are walking to the range, and we see this caddy with the full white jumpsuit.
Full Masters, green name on the back.
Green name on the back, and Mac and I both literally, like, stop and look at each other like, what in the world did we just get into? This is sick.
All Pro V1 golf balls.
On the range.
The caddy was giving us some tips on what to practice for the course. The practice green was also fantastic. For those of you that don't know, Bermuda is really difficult to roll fast. And these were rolling at about 12 or 13, which is almost impossible to do from a course maintenance standpoint.
Yeah, it was insane. They were the best greens I've played in Austin. And with Bermuda grass, it takes a while to grow. And so it needs about at least 80 degrees. It's better off with 80 to 100 degrees than it is, say, 60 to 70 degrees. So with the weather pattern that we had in Austin, it was shocking that the greens were this good.
First tee, our caddy gives us the basically a 10-minute presentation of what we should expect on the course.
What tees we should play.
By the way, I mean, we're under 30 years old. This guy could have phoned it in, and he gave us a world-class experience.
Like, and I was telling Mac too, I was obviously you guys know I caddied at part-time on the Canadian tour, as well as I also caddied, I was a local caddy at Interlochen Country Club, home of Bobby Jones completing the Grand Slam way back in 1930. But anyways, I was an honor caddy at Interlochen Country Club, and this guy would put pretty much every Interlochen caddy to shame. And that's not in any disrespect to Interlochen caddies. It was just like, this guy knows his stuff. If you were to create a video of what a caddy should do as a local caddy with a guest, this was above the expectations of that.
Absolutely. And before we get into our round, I also want to talk about on hole 10, we were trying to figure out these Bermuda greens have a lot of grain. They're really difficult to read. Some of the putts I would have guessed were breaking 2 feet left, and they might have been a left edge putt breaking right. And so Matt and I both asked the caddy, you know, how did you figure out how to read these greens? We're not seeing any of the breaks that you're seeing. And basically what he said was one of the old time members out there gave him a couple tips. And so this caddy, you know, he probably plays a course once, twice a month, if that. And he's out there. He went out every time it rained to each of the greens to understand how the rain landed on the green, where it would funnel to. And he had all the greens charted, basically from standing out there like a Bagger Vance type of feel with an umbrella, just looking to see how the rain reacted on these greens.
And this was just to make our experience better. It wasn't like that they host a PGA Tour tournament event. This was to make our experience better. Obviously, not just us, but any member guest. It was unbelievable. It was awesome to hear. So, great guy. A couple other tidbits about the golf course. We'd go to the halfway house every three holes, so it wasn't even really a halfway house. It'd have free food, free snacks, free whatever you want, free drinks. And it even, like, we really didn't need much that day because it was cold, but if it was on a warm summer day, you would be plenty hydrated. It was just world-class experience.
Yeah, and, you know, we had the course to ourselves. The caddy made it a great experience. Maddie, you had a hole out on the first hole.
Yeah, first hole. Hit two terrible golf shots and ended up having, I think, 50 to 60 yards for – actually, I hit a couple of that. Anyways, I had 50 to 60 yards for a four, and – it's a par five, but one hop, dunk, and the caddy just looked at us like we're in
for halfway up the pin, rolls down.
Boom. First ever time I've like dunked it like that or one hopped it. It was pretty cool. Caddy was loving it. But
oh yeah. I came back from my high 80s round with I believe a 74. One of the other rumors circulating on the course was Sergio Garcia actually lives in the neighborhood. Reportedly kicked out from the club for,
let's just call it a little horseplay.
A
little more to the story, but we probably really shouldn't say it, and we won't say it just out of respect to that. But
just rumored to be horseplay and not allowed to play at the course that he essentially lives on.
Another fun note that the caddy was mentioning was that
a couple weeks before we were out there.
Yeah, or it was a couple months. Because what they did was Nick Watney came out and played. He lives in the area too. Came out, shot 59. The owner heard about it, and it's a single owner, which is kind of shocking for the country club this nice, but he added 600 yards to the golf course to make it that much tougher. So I think the course tipped out at like 7,400 yards.
Yeah, the owner was reportedly not happy about Nick Watney just
tearing it up.
So he decided to come out, and he threw another 600 yards on it, and it played difficult.
Yeah, so that was funny to hear from the caddy. But like we said, the caddy made the experience there, and the course was probably top three I've ever played, and I've played some pretty good courses. So we really enjoyed that one.
For sure.
So the last course that we played was the Hills of Flint Rock Falls. And what it is, it's a Jack Nicklaus designed golf course. Fun layout, in decent shape, but what it is it's owned by this company called Club Corp. And so they have a membership where it's called Club Corp Travel. And what you do is, depending where you're at, here in Minnesota, I pay $25 a month. And for every golf course that's owned by Club Corp.
Free ad here, Matt.
Yeah, good free ad. I'm shocked we're doing it, but I would actually recommend all of you to do it. You pay $25 a month, and you go play these different golf courses. Typically, there's at least three in every big metro area, and you pay the cart fee. So that's what we did at this club course, the Hills of Flint Rock Falls. And, yeah, good golf course. We enjoyed playing it. After what we did the previous day, it was kind of a level down from that because we were at Spanish Oaks the previous day. But it was fun. Mac ended up taking the overall game for the week.
By 1 point, which is actually crazy.
1 point. It came down to it, down to the wire. I think I made a little comeback, but he ended up closing the deal. He had better ice in his veins than Phil Mickelson. But, no, great time there, too. The only thing I'd say about it was a little snobby, snobby cart girl.
Yeah, they weren't really happy that we were out there. And a lot of amateurs are hopping on the Club Corp game. They're spreading like wildfire. You'll see some really good courses on it. But at the same time, we felt a little out of place. Like, you know, being a Club Corp member was not as elite as being an actual member.
Yeah, like we were just ordering drinks, like $10 Bloody Marys, and they decided that they were not happy that we were ordering them, basically. I mean, they still served us, but I don't know. I'd still recommend it if you did have the Club Corp to go play there.
What would you give it, 1 through 10?
I'd probably give it a 7.
Yeah, I was in that range as well, probably 6.5 to 7.
Yeah, I mean, I like to compare golf courses like, you know, your tier ones are the Spanish Oaks. Like we played another tier one, would be, I don't know, just your local top country club. Obviously Augusta probably doesn't even have a tier, but your tier ones are your really good country clubs. Tier two, this would be a tier two.
For sure.
So we enjoyed it. That was a good way to, you know, finalize or finish off the trip.
First of many for the Who's Your Caddy podcast.
Yeah, first of many. Hopefully to cover more tier one golf courses. We also will enjoy it, and we will do, I can't talk right now. We'll review any type of golf course. We play a lot of local munis here in Minnesota. We love playing those. But we'll play a bunch of country clubs as well. So that's it for our Austin trip. Anything else on that, Mac?
No, all in all, awesome trip. Didn't really realize that, like Matt said before, half of Austin seems to be flat, almost.
Texas, you know, how you think of Texas?
Exactly like Texas, and you drive about 15 minutes west, and it feels like you're in Colorado or San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we enjoyed it. Great nightlife in Austin. We love doing that too. So
shout out to 6th Street, Rainy Street.
Yep. It's not all about the golf. It's about after the golf too. So
go Longhorns.
Go Longhorns. Hook 'em. That wraps it up for today. I'm going to send it over to Mac. He's going to talk a little bit about our social media platforms, who to follow, and what to do. So
Mac. Yeah, Matt, great week too here. As of Monday, January 21st, 2019, Who's Your Caddy Pod is now on Instagram and Twitter, so give that a follow. It's spelled Who's Your, as in you are, Caddy Pod. You'll see us right now. Our profile picture is with DJ and Paulina caddying for them. We will, we're working on a logo with our logo team, so you'll see that to come. But give us a follow. Shoot us an email with any comments, questions, things you want to talk about. We'll touch on them.
Awesome. You follow us, we'll follow you back. So, who's your caddy? Let's do it.
See you next week.
See ya.
I hit balls maybe 20 minutes, putt a little bit, smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes, drink 3 Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range. Said she turned little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20 inch blades like I'm Lil Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka with the liquor. G wagon, G wagon, G wagon, G wagon, all the housewives pulling up. I got a lot of toys. 720s pumping Fallout Boy. You was talking shit in the beginning. Back when I was feeling unforgiving. I know I pissed you off to see me winning. See the hit glue in my mouth and I be grinning. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. 100 deep when I roll like the army. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying why. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. Yeah, your grandma probably know me. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying why. Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow. Trunk in the front like a shit Dumbo, yeah. Cut the roof off like a nip tuck. Pull up to the house with some big butts. Turn the kitchen counter to a strip club. Me and Dre came for the. When I got guap, all of y'all disappear. Before I drop Sony, none of y'all really care. Now they always say congratulations to the kid. And this is not a 40, but I'm pouring out this shit. You serve a lot, but I got more now. Made another hit, cause I got butt now. Always going for it, never pump fourth down. Last call, Hail Mary, Prescott, touchdown, yeah.